Well, I'm going to talk to you now about El Salvador. Can you all see that? I'm going to stand off to the side here. Can you all hear me? You can all see the board. Okay. The title at the top, Finding God in Unexpected Places, was actually the theme for General Synod this year, so I'm sure that Mindy will be talking to you about that more and more throughout the year. But you do find God in lots of unexpected places, and one place I've found him is in El Salvador. That is Father Romero. He probably is, if not already, or soon to be a saint. They're working on canonization of him. As you approach El Salvador, and you look out the plane window, this is what you see. Flat, dry, you know, they're growing sugar cane down there. And there you can see they're actually, they still burn sugar cane in El Salvador, which is not really good for the environment. Next picture. Again, more flat. And you'll understand why I'm showing you these flat, dry ground pictures in a minute. Next picture. This year, this is where we stayed. It was a little place in Chalatenango, a little Catholic retreat area. Okay. This is what the inside of the rooms looked like. There were three beds to a room. Back towards the back was where the bathroom was. There was two showers, a toilet, and a sink. If you'll notice, there's blankets on the end of the beds. I'll tell you a little story about those here in a minute. Next picture. This is where, for the first time we got to this year, have the post-op patients in the same place where we were staying. Usually they're someplace totally different. So in the morning this year, when the doctors got done with breakfast, they could go and check their patients. This was a post-op building, what it looked like from the outside. And then this was when it opened up with the patients in it. We'd have anywhere from 12 to 14 patients plus a family member every night sleeping on cots inside. And off to the side of the building and around back was where the bathrooms were. Part of my job as the nurse for the OR and the safety of the patients was to make sure that nobody got hurt. You'll notice the bamboo around the outside of that wasn't there prior to me being there. I had visions of patients who couldn't see out of one eye and had a patch over the other eye trying to walk out to the bathroom and walking off the edge of the platform. So we constructed one weekend, three people and I. It's just bamboo on the ground, and we wired them, the bamboo together, so that they wouldn't fall. And they also had a little herb garden, and I was quite fascinated with their use of bamboo for growing onions. I thought that was rather unique. So, see if I can get this to work. Okay. This is El Salvador. In the past, we've been over in, and these are like, I would almost call states within the country, I guess. We've been in La Union, Morazan, San Miguel, Usulután, La Paz, La Libertad, Santa Ana. This year we're in Chalatenango, which is one of the bigger departments, and no one has serviced that area, anybody per se. They've never had really any eye care in there at all. Okay. Within Chalatenango is little departments. So we were staying like right in here. In Chalatenango, this little area here. And we would, the pre-week, where we go out to all the villages and get patients ready, we would travel to all these little areas out around. If you'll show the next slide, Jim. I was on the team one, first team. So we would travel the first day from Chalatenango to Agua Caliente, to La Reina, back to Chalatenango. The next day we traveled over here and back. And then we traveled up over here and back. So we did a lot of traveling. The last day, Las Piles and Los Plenos is clear up in here. So we would travel by truck, pickup truck, about an hour to 3 hours every day out and an hour to 3 hours every day back. Okay. This is what the pickup trucks look like. This is some of the doctors. This was the second week. But this is the pickup truck that I rode in for the first week in the back with Jose. Okay, Jim. When we went up to Las Pilas and Los Planes, we started up the hill, okay? And we got to the point where we were looking out. It was quite a nice view. I mean, to me, I'm seeing God in unexpected places out there in this lovely view, out all the mountains and all the hills and everything. Okay. I had an altimeter with me. We were at 7,524 feet. We were up rather high. Okay. As you see, you can see the mountains just rolling in over the rooftops of everything. Okay. And sort of like when we're in the mountains here in North Carolina and out west, you see all the clouds just rolling in. And I'm in the back of the pickup truck with Jose. And fortunately, by this time, it's a three-hour ride up there. They had decided to put a mattress in the back of the pickup truck for us, which was very nice of them. And you see these little clouds. Well, it started misting. And they had told us before we left, they said, make sure you dress warm, because it's a little different up there. Okay. It was 59 degrees. We had left an area where it was 90 degrees. And then on top of that, remember, it's misting. And you're riding in the back of a pickup truck doing about 60 miles an hour. So you got to be a little cold. So the first church that we got to up there, we pulled in, and I said to one of the interpreters, I said, find out if anybody has blankets to sell in this little town, you know, store or anything like that. So one of the ladies sold me three blankets, and those are the blankets you saw on the bed, because we used them to cover up with in the back of the truck so we didn't freeze on the way back down. Next picture. But up there on the mountain at 7,000 feet elevation was where they grow most of the crops for the country. They grow the cabbage all along the hillsides. The cabbage, potatoes, next picture. More cabbage, more potatoes, okay. Again, and see how green it is compared to down at the lower elevations, again. And they use every available, I mean, there's all up and down through here is all plots of land, cabbage, potatoes, all those things, okay. Now, they have some pretty nice sized cabbage, I thought. And the fruits and vegetables, some of those are probably from Honduras or other places, but, I mean, that's a huge pile of plums. Okay. And this is what it looked like in Los Pilos, looking out at everything. Quite a nice view. Okay. Las Plenas is known for its flowers. So one town is known for its vegetables, the other is known for its flowers, and that's just an example inside of one of the churches of some of the flowers. And this is like in that village, all down the side, all these flowers everywhere you look. And then there's like gardens up the hillside, with the vegetables, like with the flowers. It was just, and like I said, finding God in unexpected places. You're used to seeing all the brown and dirt and dust down at the lower elevations, and you come up here and you're like, wow. Okay. The other thing, in all the churches, there's different artwork within the churches. This is a, you know, depiction of Christ. This is more of a colonial type church. This is an older church, probably, I'd say from the 1700s. Okay. One of the churches up in the mountains. This was a scene painted on their walls. Does that picture look familiar to anybody? We have one similar to it in our hallway. Okay. Again, St. Francis. How many of you have heard of the Maronil nuns that were killed in El Salvador back in 1980? That right here is their grave. We visited that. It's in Chalatenango. We visited their three graves. That, I don't know if any of you have, is Daryl Holland. He is a UCC minister. He used to work for the Cleveland newspaper doing the religious. So he was showing everybody and telling everybody. He actually was there during a lot of that time of the goings on in El Salvador, so he had lots of stories to tell. Okay. Again, this is the other thing too, is their graves are above ground, and they're quite decorated, quite well taken care of. Lots of flowers, and a lot of these flowers are made out of plastic bags, and they'll make like flowers out of the plastic bags. Okay. This is Phil Lohr. Phil was the one who used to be in charge, and this year was his first year to not be in charge of this whole kit and caboodle, so this is his first year to actually rest. He said this is the first year he's really enjoyed being down there. Next picture. This is what registration line looks like. This is like lining up to be seen. This is the registration tent down here. So these are all people waiting in line, next picture. And that's the other direction, waiting in line. That was like that twice a day for 9 days. Next picture. This is registration. People getting registered. Next picture. And waiting to be seen at station one. Next picture. This is an auto refractor, which helps finalize what kind of prescription lens they'll need. Next picture. When we want to, you know, in our doctor's offices, when they want to change the shape of our glasses around the back of our ears, they have a little hot air thing that they use. We use silicone beans in a frying pan, or silicone beads in a frying pan to get them. We're very, very low tech. Okay. This is some of the glasses that we have, all these glasses back here, all these glasses here, all these glasses here. A lot of them are from Lions Clubs in Virginia, and Lions Club here in Lancaster sends me with glasses. Next picture. This is the prescription. These are all prescription, which is very hard to fit. I mean, because we've got glasses that are already used, and we have to try to get them as close as we can for what the people need. So it makes it very, very difficult. It's very time consuming. Okay. We see a lot of little old ladies, and they always dress in their very best to come and see us. Okay. This is the OR. This is one of our surgeons. This is Dr. Burt and his nurse, Sonia. This is what the ORs look like this year. Next picture. This is the autoclave room. Actually, it was a closet that we commandeered. This is our autoclave where we sterilize all our equipment. Some of the money that you sent with me this year was used to buy the sterile water that we needed for the autoclaves. We use about 6 to 7 bottles a day, so we needed lots of sterile water. So some of that money that the endowment fund sent me with went for that. Next picture. Again, more storage, all of our supplies. Next picture. This is my area, pre-op area. I see this plastic bin here. We bought 2 more, but they have double doors on, or doors all the way down. So some of the endowment funds went for that to help us contain all of our stuff so it's not in paper boxes. It's drawing moisture. Next picture. This is 3 of the surgeons. This is Sue Carlson. She's from Virginia. Stuart Somheimer is from Illinois, and Leanne Larson is from Iowa. Next picture. 2 more. Dr. Burt is from Utah, and Dr. Levinson is from Florida. Tony is one of the nurses, and Bea is one of the interpreters. Dr. Levinson and Dr. Somheimer are Jewish. Dr. Ungerich is Mormon, so we have a large, you know, we have all religions that go with us, not just, you know, one religion. We have all religions, Catholics, Christians, Jewish, Mormons, okay? Now that, has anybody ever seen a cataract? That is a cataract. Our cataracts usually don't look like that. We get them off before they look like that. So imagine trying to look through that, how dark and dense it is. And you can see why these people have such a hard time. And those are so dense and thick that in the United States we use a phaco and sort of like ultrasound and break them up. You can't do that with that one. It won't break up. So you have to manually take it out. Okay. This is post-op day, being able to see probably for the first time in a very long time. Okay. I'm going to read you a little story here. This is Francisco and Carmen. I'll tell you a little story about them. This is written by one of the other people that goes. A few years ago, while serving on the eye care mission in La Libertad, a young man came to the clinic. He appeared to be around 30 years of age. He seemed to have some sort of vision problem, but it was difficult to tell exactly what. He was sent for a medical exam as John McNamara, one of the eye doctors, looked at his eyes, her shoulders slumped. She turned to me and my husband, Jose, and said, another RP, which is retinosis pigmentosis. You see, this was the 3rd person on this mission who had appeared in the clinic with this rare eye disease. It would be unusual to see 1 person with this each trip, but 3 was very odd. As my husband and I began to speak with him, we found out he had been a truck driver, which pays about $30 a week. Horrible by our standards, a living by their standards. He was unable to work because his vision was beginning to shut down. On top of the retinitis pigmentosis, he also had glaucoma that had gone untreated, and his vision was becoming like a narrow tunnel of vision. Jose and I went to visit him at his new job the next weekend. Francisco and his wife sell cheese in the market. Next slide. does not sound terrible. Picture walking down a hallway that is about 3 feet wide in a dirty marketplace. Your roof is a blue tarp. Your workspace is about 4 feet wide by 3 feet deep. It is smelly, and the cheese also has quite an odor in the hot sun. I cannot imagine what they make each day, certainly not much. It broke my heart, and Jose and I pledged to do what we could to help them. He now sees a doctor in the capital when he can afford it. His eye meds cost around $20 to $45 a month. When he does not take them, he has some headaches and eye pain. We have tried to help, and now with your help, we were able to make a difference in his life and his two young children's lives as well. When Jose and I visited this year and were able to give them the money you donated, they were overwhelmed. I don't think they could comprehend how this happened to them. We explained about how your church gives Sherry money, and she is able to decide the blessings each year, and this year it was them. We laughed and cried, and Carmen and Francisco had smiles on their faces when we left. They wanted you all to know that they are grateful because he needs some testing at his next appointment, and now he can afford it. They sent blessings to your group. Jose and I want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to be bearers of such a great and generous gift. We gave them $500. I mean, that's nothing really for us, but that's going to cover his meds for several months and help with his children. So that was where some of the endowment fund went. Next picture. This is a paperwork for Jose Angel Quintela. He is 59. He is a farmer, or was a farmer. He is blind in his right eye, and he has finger count 3, which means if I hold my fingers three inches from his face, he can see on his left eye. That was what he could see. So we gave him a false eye. I'm going to show the next picture. This is Jose. So you can see the right eye. That's the false eye that we gave him. We were going to do cataract surgery on his left eye. We got his eye all dilated, got him laid down on the table, getting ready, and he looks through the microscope. His iris was not connected properly, which meant we, with the way we were doing surgeries, would not be able to do surgery on him. So here we have somebody now who has this false eye and still can't see out of this eye, who's a farmer. So we sent him to the local ophthalmologist to see if they had the proper equipment that they could do surgery for him. They said they would do the surgery for him at cost, but it would cost $900. Well, of course, in El Salvador, you know, Jose doesn't have $900. Well, that was what Grace Church did. We paid for his surgery. He can now see out of his left eye. So he can now go back to work. I mean, he's 59 years old. He has a lot of years left to work, but he was being led around by his wife when he came to see us, because he couldn't work. And there's nothing there to teach blind people how to make a living. Nothing at all. Next picture. This is another little gentleman that we saw. Little cute little guy. We had a lot of cute little people down there. And this is Bea talking to him, and he's trying to tell her something about after he just got his Band-Aid off, how he could see or not see. Next picture. And there he is, full face. Just smiling because he could actually see for the first time. Okay. So, and this was coming down the mountain from up in those villages up in the hills. So you see, you do find God in unexpected places.